Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as always, I always find the best guests in the world, and I got to bring in a friend of mine from years and years ago from trading, launching a brand new website, an options guy, a golfer, hustler, but he's a good guy and we like him. And of course, this is Rob Roy from Options Clarity, optionsclarity.com. Rob, what's up, my brother?
Hey, Bubba, how you doing?
I'm doing good. So what's going on in the world, brother?
What's this hustler stuff?
Well, you know, listen, with a name like Rob Roy, okay, and I know it's a real name, so, I mean, you know, that's, you know, right away I got a problem. I knew that, but it's all good. I like that. I'm proud of you. If you look, I know a guy who knows how to get the edge can teach his students how to get the edge, too, so that's a good thing when you get with an edge guy, right?
That's true.
Right? It wasn't a put down, my brother. It's always anybody who can gather the edge always gets compliment from me, because I think, you know, if you look at markets, don't you think that's one of the hardest things to do for the average guy, to learn how to grab the edge off the market?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's what people are always striving to do, and they don't know how to do it.
Exactly. And that's why I have to have such a tremendous respect for a guy like you who understands the market, understands the clarity of options, and, you know, I mean, has been around, how many years have you been trading? 25?
20. This is my 20th anniversary this year.
No, there you go. So, and you've been through, you've seen the good markets, you've seen the bad markets, you've seen the hard markets, you've seen the tough markets. I mean, you know, in 20 years, a lot's happened. And we've been through, you know, a number of collapses. And let's see, in 20 years, you went through 08, 01, and not much. I started in 80, so I went through all of them since then. But I think, you know, when you look at the markets today, I think we're looking for another one. You know, I can't predict when, but I certainly think one is on its way. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I couldn't agree more. And that's you use almost your exact same words. I know it's coming, and I tell my core group that it's coming. In fact, the Option Clarity is actually, I'm going to be taking this to the public for the first time, but it's I've got a core group of people that have been with me. Can I give you like 2 seconds of my background?
You can give me give me an hour. You give whatever you want.
Because I think it ties together. But the words that you just said there are, as far as going through, not, you know, we never go through everything that's in the market, but when I travel around and do seminars. So here's the 2 second history. I graduated from college, went to Florida State. So anyone that's listening to Seminole, go Noles. You got to do the war chant. So I lasted 10 months in corporate America. I couldn't do that. And so I decided I needed something else. And I was a golf pro. And that's why the whole hustler thing. Everybody knows I was a golf pro. So if you want to go out there and play for money, I'm always up for that. So the hustler thing, you know what you're getting into when we tee it up. But after about 12 years in the golf business, I realized that I needed to do something else. And I became a financial advisor. And I lasted 2 years. And that was because the compliance guy came in and said, hey, you're trading options. And I said, yeah, in my own account. He said, you can't do that. I said, no, I can't do it for clients. He said, no, you can't do it in your own account either. And I said, you can guess what I said. And I walked out the door, and I've been trading ever since. And that happened 20 years ago. But over the course of time, as an independent contractor, I would travel around and literally travel around the world doing option education events. And one question that I'd always ask the audience is, what do you think is the key to success? You know, what's the key to long-term success in trading? And most of the people would answer, you know, knowledge or education. And I would say, well, obviously that's extremely important, but in my mind, it's not number one. Number one is experience. And so that's why I totally agree with you. The guys that have been around a long time it's seeing things and going through experiences. You know, we all win and lose at times, and you learn as you go. There is no substitute for experience, and so being around 20 years, I think that's the greatest thing that I have to offer. It's not knowledge. You know, you can get knowledge in a number of different places, but the experience to have been around that long, and even just in the 2 years that I was a financial advisor, I was able to incorporate a good core. It wasn't a large number, but it was a good core of higher income people. And when I left the financial advisory world, not wanting to be securities licensed anymore, they're all like, "Well, you know, what are you doing? We still want to follow you, and you know, you build relationships with people." And so I've just been communicating, and I still have every single one of those people 20 years later, except for, you know, one person that's passed away. But everybody else is still in there.
Did he pass away from a bad trade?
So, what's that?
I said, did he pass away from a bad trade?
Thanks a lot. I see how this is going to be.
I'm just curious. You know, I mean, you know, like
I know you remember this, the whole day trading phenomenon in 1999 when, you know, people were renting out floors of office buildings, and that people didn't even have personal computers back then. You rent out a floor of an office building. People were coming in day trading and making a bunch of money until 2000 when the market corrects, and then everybody's jumping out the window of the same building.
Right, exactly. So,
that's pretty funny. But now, actually, he had a blood clot. His wife called me 3 o'clock in the morning and all upset. And, you know, luckily, we had set him up right. And, you know, she's been well off ever since because everything was planned for. And that was the key. So
that's good stuff. You know, so, you know, it is that we have seen a lot of phenomenons. And as you say, there is no. There's nothing that can take away the experience. You know, obviously, I've done everything in the markets, from being a floor trader at all three floors in Chicago to trading every product, including the weather. Everybody laughs at that one, but I've traded the weather as well. And, you know, there is no substitute for having an understanding for how the market functions, because, you know, you can read. All you have to do is look at either the President of the United States or look at the Federal Reserve. They're trying to work off education and theory. And, of course, you and I know that in trading, you need more than education and theory. You have to actually know what's happening when the walls are coming down, or when you're running away your opponent. You got to know what to do with it. And because there's different cases, and you just can't. There's no way in a book to describe that. Would you agree with that?
I agree with it 100%. Yeah, and there's zero substitute for it. And you can have the greatest amount of book knowledge in the world, and you go out and lose your ass just trying to follow just general guidelines and rules, because things change. And, you know, the way the markets are now, which is the reason for the trading room within Option Clarity, is so that we can talk throughout the trading day. And, you know, market, the money, big money, I'm sure, wow, stupid question. Have you seen the volume? There's no volume in the markets. It's just, it's rotation. Money is rotating. The same amount of money is just rotating through the markets. The only money that's coming in is from the foreign countries that have negative interest rates that are buying our paltry little positive rates that we still have. But as far as the equity markets, we're seeing rotation. And it's almost going back to the day trading days, but just with a slightly different twist, in my opinion. Obviously, just my opinion, and I'm real talkative, and the thing I'm going to try to do, which I screw up on a lot on radio interviews, is talking over. So I know that, you know, you can't see each other. The hard part is not to talk over one another, so I apologize ahead of time if I do that, but I'm extremely opinionated, as I'm sure you have gathered already. But, you know, when we used to have the two phrases, sell the rips and buy the dips. So, you know, if the market was going to the downside, you know, sell the rip. The market's going to the upside, buy the dips and stay with the trend. The trend is your friend. My God, who hasn't heard that?
Hold that thought. Around trading. Hold that thought. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with Rob Roy, OptionsClarity.com, 20-year veteran, friend of mine. We're going to stop by here for a break, and we'll be right back. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every single day, including the Sporting Edge on Saturdays. The Bubba Show will be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my man Rob Roy from OptionsClarity.com. Brand new venture he's going into after 20 years around. Probably gives him a little more time to play golf as well. So you're talking about sell the rips, buy the dips, and do all that good stuff. And so I want to let you go ahead and finish that story, sir.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, it's just that used to be as far as trending markets, you know, and follow along with the trend. So you're an uptrend. You get something that rips higher. And so you sell that, you fade that, you get something in the downtrend, you're following along with the trend. And so, you know, to buy the dips, but or vice versa. But the issue is that with the rotation that's occurring in the markets now, it's, in my opinion, almost back to that type of a mentality. Now, not day trading as, you know, the classic definition of an opening and trade, closing a trade within the same day, you know, the technical definition of a day trade, but it's almost along those lines where, because of the rotation that's occurring, money's just moving around. You look for opportunities where something's overbought, people are fading it, something's oversold, they're buying it, but it's for, you know, a couple days. It's just a short-term type of a trade, and that's why option clarity is coming to be, in order to have a trading room, share these ideas with people to actually illustrate what's going on and what I mean by that. And you look at the market, and, you know, I thought from January through August of 2015 was a boring market. But then we get into July, and we had a little bit of a move in September, but the tightness of the trading range and the lack of volatility is staggering. So when you go through this long of a period with low volatility, what's likely to happen? You know, volatility is likely to come back, and my opinion is when it comes back, it's coming back in a big way, because I know you and I share the same views on the Federal Reserve and the ridiculousness of their manipulation into the markets, but eventually all this, you know, what's going to hit the fan.
They suck, and they're suck, and they're ignorant. Sorry.
isn't it fascinating, Bubba, the difference between this Federal Reserve and the one under Greenspan, where with Greenspan, you never heard from anybody. He was the only one that ever talked. And then we had the whole Fed speak thing. You know, there's a lot of cartoons. They would have been what, memes or whatever the young people do today with the social media. With the fact that when he talked, you could never understand what he was trying to say. And that's the way he wanted it. He wanted to keep people in the dark and just blabber about nothing. Now, all these, the Fed governors, the voting members of the FOMC, they're all like wanting to be superstars, and they want to get interviews, and they want to see their name on the financial networks, and they love it when they're being quoted, and it's like a status symbol to them now. But they have no idea what they're doing, and that's what drives me crazy. And one of the things that I'd like to focus on for at least a little bit of this time as we could, if we could, is the misconception and the misnomer of, I know everyday America knows this, but you listen to the financial networks and all the money managers that come on and hearing about how the economy is good and the fact that the employment situation is great. And we all know that the government's version of the unemployment number is complete BS, because they don't count people that have fallen off of unemployment benefits. You know, if you've been on unemployment benefits for a year and you've exhausted your benefits, then you're not counted in the unemployment rate. And somehow, with a straight face, the government puts that number out every single month, which mind-boggling to me.
Well, I mean, I have to interject, because that's what you're in my wheelhouse. Number one, I will have one disagreement with you. I think Greenspan was actually the starter of all this bullshit. I think that Greenspan was the first bubble builder. But subsequently, we then did have Bernanke, who was sweating in the room with Paulson. And I don't believe that anything was going on. I believe that the big banks are out to do this anyways. I mean, I went to a guy that was always neutral on the Federal Reserve to, I believe, in the conspiracy that they're trying to turn the whole world into socialist. But beyond all that, Bernanke was full of crap. And when he wouldn't raise in 13, you knew there was a problem. And now, with all the Fed governors coming out, and I think this is all staged. This is my opinion, that they send out a governor. They want to test the water. And if you remember, about 3 weeks ago, they sent out, like every day somebody else went out and they kept talking about, well, we're gonna hike. And then that Friday, the markets cracked out a little bit. But they knew they had Brainerd coming out on Monday, who was the big dove, and they said, no, we're not going to raise rates. And of course, the markets rallied right back, which has been, I think, their MO is to more manipulate the whole situation because they're testing because they want to raise, but they realize the damage that they've already done and all these unintended consequences of what they've done is destroying middle America and all the other things are around it, allowing the rich to continue to accumulate wealth at our expense.
Well, let me be extremely clear here, my friend, Bubba. There is no disagreement here. I am on the exact same page with you. The only thing I noted, and please don't understand my intent there, was that it's just we have a different Fed now where the Fed governors want to see their name in lights versus when Greenspan was controlling it, he was the only talking head. But we totally agree. And I have the data. I study the Federal Reserve. I am a conspiracy theorist with the Federal Reserve. You go back and look at the creation of the Federal Reserve back in 1913 and the vote that created the Federal Reserve. There were 13 congressmen that voted to create the Federal Reserve Act back on December 23rd of 1913. And we can go on and on and on that. But Greenspan absolutely started the bubble theory with this view that you could create a consistent, the number of, we may agree, disagree on this number, I don't know, but from what I studied, and of course this is my FSU education, but studying economics there, you need a 3%, if you don't have a 3% GDP, you don't have a real growing economy when you offset inflation and everything else. So you've got to be above 3%. How long has it been since we've had a 3% GDP economy? It's been forever. But Greenspan felt like he could create a consistent 3% GDP economy by injecting liquidity anytime the economy began to weaken. But if you go through historically, from an economic standpoint, economies go through periods of growth and recessions. You have expansion and recessions. And recessions are not necessarily such a bad thing. It's when you clear out the dead wood. Like, we just went through a freaking hurricane here in Florida, and you look around, and the trees all look healthy. Why? Because all the dead stuff just got blown out of the trees, and so now only healthy limbs and everything. I mean, the place looks great now after all the cleanup, and that's what recessions do for economy. But Greenspan wanted to keep a consistent 3%. That was his mantra. If you go back and read the stuff that he published, that was exactly what he was saying. So anytime the economy began to weaken, they would inject liquidity. And for people that don't understand what it means when the Federal Reserve injects liquidity, and I know you and I agree on this part, this is where the bubble theory comes in. They buy and sell government bonds and treasuries, but there's no money trading hands. It's a balance sheet transaction where they authorize, and I got somebody yelled at me once where I said the Federal Reserve is printing money, and they said, no, the U.S. Treasury prints money. Okay, you want to be politically correct? The U.S. Treasury prints money, but the Federal Reserve is one of the biggest buyers in there of bonds and treasuries, authorizing us to continue to go in debt every single week when we have our auctions. And all you have to do is look at a chart of the M2 money supply. The M2 money supply is anything liquid, checking account, saving account, CDs, etc. And you can see when Greenspan took over the Federal Reserve from 1913 to the 80s when he took over, there was just an ever so slight increase. But since he took over, it went up in a 45-degree angle. And I totally agree with you as well. Bernanke took that to a grander scale, and things moved up vertically as far as all these quantitative easing plans and everything else that's just injecting more and more and more liquidity into the system. And Janet Yellen is just, I don't even know what the hell she does. She just follows suit, and she seems to be in a totally different page from everybody else. It would be fascinating to sit into one of those FOMC board meetings every month just to listen to the crap that's being spouted back and forth. But, you know, we had the tech bubble in 80, and or in, excuse me, in 2000. We go down from 2000 to 2002. Then we come back, and we have the housing bubble, and we get the financial crisis of 2008-09. And how did they fix it? By throwing more money at it, by more quantitative easing programs. So all they did was more of what got us in that bubble.
Stop.
And now we have...
Stop right there. We're going to get back to this because I got to ask you a couple of questions since you are an educated economist. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. We're with Rob Roy, optionsclarity.com. Been trading for over 20 years and pretty much done it all, but an educated economist. In the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. Make sure you do. We're trying to get to $300,000 a month. I need your help, so help me out. And go also get the Sporting Edge while you're there. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Abhorrence will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Rob Roy, optionsclarity.com, and brand new trading room he's coming out with. And all right, so go ahead and continue your thoughts on the Fed, but I'll throw in a couple of things here. And one is that they are clueless, and I don't think Janet Yellen has a clue, number one. I think that when you try to run an economy or any business out of a theory, theories never work because you have to be able to act when it happens. You can't make the decision. There is no way to forecast, which goes in the same as trading. You have to be able to react to the certain circumstances of when things happen. So I do have one question for you, though, about economics. Keynesian economics, okay? You a fan or not a fan?
Not a fan.
Okay. What would you sub in its place, or would there be a blend of everything, of a couple together? I mean, obviously there's some vast differences. I don't like the fact that we never just take the beating. I would have let the banks go out of business that couldn't survive in 2008 and taken the beat down. And the Fed would do what they're supposed to do, which is be the lender of last resort instead of the money printer, which is really issuing a secondary on my cash every time they print more money. They're taking my money right out of our pocket. But what would you blend it, or is there an economic system you like better?
I like the blending thing. I think you have to be dynamic because the markets are dynamic, and you know this. I've made good money trading options from several different strategies. There's periods of time where you can be a buyer of options and hit home runs and make huge. I don't want to quote returns, but make huge returns. And then there's other markets like what we've had over the last couple of years where that doesn't work at all. And, you know, the time decays just eroding things away because the market's not moving. And you better be dynamic and things change. There's no holy grail strategy. There's no holy grail technical analysis indicator, whatever. You've got to be dynamic. You've got to be ever-changing. That's the main thing that I've learned. And I think the Federal Reserve needs to be that as well. But I absolutely couldn't agree with you more as far as operating on this theory that they have as far as what works in the market and continuing on the same path that, again, total agreement with you, that Greenspan started, it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And each bubble that bursts is going to be worse. And that's what people need to be aware of. I'm with you with, something's coming, but I can't tell you when. I'm in total agreement with that. But if you thought the financial crisis was bad, then wait until this one blows up, because we're going to see a massive spike in interest rates when the bond market unwinds. And
it's a lot. So
you better be prepared.
Yeah, right. And you're 100% right. So options clarity. Okay, so tell us what option clarity is going to be, and if you can share, and I don't know if you can or not, but if you can, you can share some of the types of strategies that you look at when you trade.
Hey, thank you for leading me into that, because that's exactly what it is. It's, if we've done the education thing, there's strategies that we've educated people on, good strategies, not so good strategies, stay away from certain strategies. People are out there, they're toting their wares and trying to get everybody connected to one specific strategy. And finally, just the frustration of the fact that that's what's out there. If this is a strategy, just focus on this strategy. The idea of option clarity is exactly that, to try to make the whole idea and theory of options a little clearer, because that is one of the aspects of the market that's growing, is options. And I think that's because the wealth effect has gone down so much in this country. But the trading room is the key, because it's dynamic. What's going on today? Because what's going on today might be different than yesterday. So, that's hypothetical, but it could be, a month or 6 months ago. Let's talk about the market today. And so here's what's going on today. What will work in this situation? Rather than trying to just regurgitate, learn this strategy, follow this indicator, and then you'll be fine, and that's how you'll be successful in trading options. It doesn't work. It doesn't work in any aspect of the market. I don't think it works as long with the Federal Reserve either. And so that's the whole key of it, is we're gonna look at the market, on a daily basis. Here's what's going on, and these are the things that you need to be doing. So it's gonna try to, the point of the whole thing is to try to get not knowledge from 20 years, but to share experience. It's easy to share knowledge. You can write books, and wrote my third book, and you can do seminars, and you can do all these things. And a lot of times, the frustrating thing with me when I was traveling around being an educator is, as an independent contractor, they will still give you, and they're not supposed to, they'll still give you a script to follow. And it was always, this give and take in my brain when I would be educating people on stuff that I knew wasn't going to really help them. But that's what I was paid to do. So I'm tired of doing that. I don't do that stuff anymore. This is going to be, let's look at the market on a daily basis, based on experience. These are the things that work. And teach people to be, I hate to use a cliche word, but dynamic. And that's what you better be if you want to be successful in the world of trading now, because it is so different, with all the algorithmic trading and everything else that's going on in the markets these days.
You mean to tell me that all those guys who promised me all those billions of dollars from their one strategy that always works is not correct?
I'm afraid not. I've sold puts, I've done credit spreads, I've bought options, I've done butterflies. You better be ready to change with the market, or you're going to watch your account go down to nothing.
All those guys that made me all those promises, being the one guy who I get this ad all the time, turned nothing into $41 million on some secret. There's no such secret strategy.
I'm afraid not, Bubba. There's no such thing.
Yeah. I thought they were handing out $100 bills.
Stuff doesn't exist.
And I thought all this time, I told everybody they handed out $100 bills. That was like free money. All you had to do was get in and trade.
And we got all those people out there selling covered calls, and when the market corrects, they're going to get you. I'll ask you a question, because I got all kinds of stuff I wanted to talk about. We haven't got to any of it, but this is another one that sticks in my craw. Where are you on dividend stocks?
Where am I on dividend stocks? For what purpose?
Because there's a lot of people out there. Kevin O'Leary, one of them,
he's a jag off.
He's freaking all over the financial networks talking about that's all you got to do is just buy dividend stocks and your gold.
Yeah, because when you're a billionaire like him or Wilbur Ross, You can tell people just go buy dividend stocks because they're not going to go broke, just like Warren Buffett. I love dividend stocks for a long-term portfolio. As far as to be active, I don't. And the thing that gets to me the most, since you brought it up, and I'm on network all the time, is when the networks talk about, well, buy dividend stocks, it's better than the 10-year. And I go, really? Well, there's one thing I know for a fact. Yes, the yield over time is better, but if I'm somebody who's only got X amount of dollars and I put it all in the market because I want to get that yield that they're promising me, and the market collapses and I lose 55 or 60% of my portfolio, I'm out of business and I have to go back to work. And if I put that money in a 10-year, it may not go a lot, but I know that in 10 years I'm getting back the full 100,000 plus the interest.
Oh, you mean that? You mean that 4% dividend yield didn't protect you when the market crashed?
Yeah, that's just like the covered calls protected you when the market crashed. That, exactly right. That is my.
I'm with you, brother.
You know, again, I'm 100% with you because that is exactly what the problem is with everybody who tries to tell you everything's free. Again, they pass out $100 bills to everybody, and I know that Rob won't admit it, but they call him and tell him when the market's going to go down. They're going to call him and tell him ahead of time so he can tell you that they're going to collapse. I know. You got that easy stuff going for you. I know. It's all right.
It drives me crazy. Kevin O'Leary may be a brilliant guy in the Shark Tank and with other business he created to make all his money and everything else, but the stuff that he spouts on the financial network, he's not an expert in the world of trading, I can tell you that. And,
well,
this is a true story here. I broke a TV, and my kids bought me a foam brick because I was listening to one of the financial networks, and somebody said something that was so outlandish that I grabbed a paperweight that was on my desk and I threw it at the TV and I broke my TV screen. And so for Christmas that year, my kids got me a foam brick. It's just the stuff that comes on and the investment managers that come on, and I was one for 2 years, and the amount of times that I heard the words just in 2 years from the broker dealer of gather assets, never once did they talk about, protect the clients or make the clients money. It's gather assets, collect the 12b-1 fees, etc. That's the whole thing. And all these people that are coming on talking about how wonderful things are, they're not. And it makes me wonder, one, are they just saying that because they don't want people to, they don't want excess redemptions. They don't want people to get nervous or get concerned about the markets and start to take money out because they get paid under assets under management. Or
that are invested.
Go ahead.
Assets under management that are in the market. If they're in cash, they don't get paid on them, so they got to make sure they keep them in the market. It's a funky business, and I'm with you. Listen, I am against that 100%. I talk about it. I write about it because at the end of the day, you know what? I don't care if you use somebody, but make sure you know what the hell they're doing so you can advise them of what you want done, because I love when I go on air and a guy will say, I'm bullish. I like this, and they have to show you. When you're on TV, they had to show if you have ownership, and they never have ownership. This is the Bubba Show. I'm with Rob Roy from OptionsClarity.com, having a lot of fun. And we're going to stop by here break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the show every single day. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. Will be right back after the break. Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz with Rob Roy from OptionsClarity.com. And so, Rob, after 20 years, after doing all the things you've done, tell us about what you want to get done now. What's your goals and what you want to accomplish now?
I'm 57, 56 years old. So I don't want to make myself older than I am. And I've been around a long time. And the frustration, we just had it in the last segment of what's spouted off on TV. And people watch the TV and they take that as gospel on what's being put out. They don't use their brains to think of what ulterior motives could people have behind the scenes. Really what I want to do is, when I was a golf pro, the thing I enjoyed most, I liked playing in tournaments, I liked playing for money, but the thing I enjoyed most was teaching people to play the game. That was where my greatest satisfaction came from. And so right now, the thing that I really want to accomplish in this stage of my life is to cut back, peel back the veil of BS that exists. And I know there's a lot of mistrust, and some of it is rightly deserved in the financial markets, et cetera. But the average person does have a fighting chance, and it, you know, that's what I really want to do is to help them, because it's so difficult to make money these days in the general economy. And in this last segment, that's what really what I wanted to cover is the unemployment and employment situation that exists right now. And this is actually off that, but it also states the or illustrates the state of the economy at this point. I'm sure you saw this number, but on Friday it was released that $11.2 billion year-to-date in this year have been collected by banks, bank fees for overdraft and insufficient fund fees. You know, the average bank is charging $35 for an overdraft or a return check for insufficient. $11.2 billion, and it's affecting roughly about 10% of the people that have bank accounts, and so or bank accounts. So it could be, you know, even more people than that when we get around to it. That's a staggering number. So this is not a healthy economy. If you got $11.2 billion in overdraft fees from people that are overdrawing their accounts, the participation rate, this is a big deal with me, has dropped from 66.4 to 62.4 since the financial crisis began, which is in 2008. And when you listen to people that try to, again, on the pundits that come on trying to persuade people that everything is still okay, say that, you know, it's because the baby boomer generation is so large and they're retiring. You got to understand what the participation rate is. It's able-bodied people of working age. So if you're retiring, it doesn't count. You don't count in the participation rate. So they explain it away in a method that doesn't jive with what it really is. 94.1 million is the number of able-bodied workers in this country that could have a job are not working right now. Now, maybe they're working side jobs and they're taking cash under the table, and that's possible. And the group that we've hired under President Obama's great, you know, employment, reemployment that he touts as he's going out is one of his big successes, are over 55. So why is that the number one group? That's not the highest earning group. That's because the people that should be retiring and enjoying the later years of their life can't afford to. They have to come back and take another part-time job. And that's the jobs that are being created. That's another thing, is that there was almost as many part-time jobs created in 2015 as there were full-time jobs. And the jobs that are being created are in the two lowest paying sectors, which is the service industry and leisure and hospitality. So if you want to go be a waiter or waitress or work at the counter in a hotel, those jobs are okay. Why? Because there's people are traveling. And so anyway, the fact that the unemployment rate is being touted as a positive thing drives me absolutely insane. So why are people over 55 taking a good percentage of these jobs? Because with interest rates so low, they can't survive on a fixed income anymore. And what was the thing when you were a financial advisor is, as you got older, more of your money was supposed to go into fixed income and less of it at risk in the market. Well, if you're getting next to zero, and you talked before about how you were frustrated with fees and everything, how are you going to feel, Bubba, when we go to negative rates, which I do believe at some point we will? I don't think this is coming tomorrow, but I think at some point down the road, we will likely follow what's going on in Europe and Japan, and that we will likely go to a negative rate situation. I know it's going out on the limb a little bit, and people go crazy when I say that, but how would you like to pay money to have your money in a bank?
You're old news, pal. I've been talking about that for a long time. I agree with you. I think they're going definitely negative rates. I think my personal opinion is it's going to be sooner than we think. It's going to be a hike in December, only so that they can create another QE program and start sticking it up everybody's ass again. And that's what I think. And then they're going to end up going to negative, because the real problem is, you made it out earlier, but I want you to get back to what you're going on. But the debt to GDP ratio is at a record level now. And think about that for a minute. That's at 0% interest. Where's it going to be when interest rate starts to go up? We're going to be like the world. The world is, I think, is at negative 225%. I believe it's 225 to 1. So, but anyways, go ahead and finish. I'm sorry.
Could not agree with you more. And interest rates are inching up, and the Federal Reserve hasn't gone in December. Is that in advance of it? Maybe. But, you know, if the Federal Reserve goes 25 basis points in December, is that going to bump it up more, or are we going to start to head back down? I think that's going to be the peak, and then we're going to start to come back down. And I'm with you. We're going to negative rates, and what a shock that's going to be to people. But here's a stat for you. This is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the BLS, which, if you take the L out, is probably more appropriate. But a single non-working mother with 3 to 4 kids and participates in all the government programs that are available to her has more disposable income right now than a single taxpayer earning $70,000 a year and is paying all their taxes and not participating in any of the government programs. That's where we are right now. And so you wonder why. This blows me away, and I know, you know, when you get into politics, it's like I did that in seminars and stuff, and you alienate half the room loves you, it's always the way. But this groundswell scares the hell out of me of college age kids that were in favor of Bernie Sanders. My son had a sociology class. And he's in Tallahassee, so, I mean, I have to say that. He would actually record what was being said in his class by the professor, and he would send it to me. And her comment was, I really probably shouldn't be going here, but she said that if Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton had a child, that would be her ideal presidential candidate. And so the fact that we have, and so in the class, he talked about, you really want a socialist as president? And she says, oh, you think Bernie Sanders is a socialist? No, he's a self-proclaimed socialist. He came out and said that. And it scares me as far as where our young people are today and where their heads are. But that stat that I just gave you is a perfect explanation of why. And, you know, the kids are struggling to go to school and to pay their tuition and everything else. I totally understand that. And that's where a lot of it comes from, this pre-education. It's not free. Who's going to pay for it? You know, and his program was only $1.4 trillion short of the financing needed to do what he was going to say. But anyway, I'm getting off point here.
You got 1 minute. You got a minute to go, brother.
Okay. I got 3 pages left to go. But my point is that the employment rate that comes out, the majority of people that are getting jobs are getting part-time jobs and a second part-time job. They don't highlight that. Nobody has ever talked about that on any financial network that I've talked about. A great percentage of the jobs are people getting a second part-time job because no employer wants to pay the healthcare costs. They don't want to pay the Obamacare costs. Healthcare, that was a whole other segment that I was going to go into. Hopefully, maybe you'll have me back another time, Bubba, and we can get into that.
You can come.
The fact that people are getting part-time jobs and they're taking 2 part-time jobs to survive, because nobody wants to hire them at a decent wage for a full-time job.
You can come back next week. Rob Roy, optionsclarity.com. Thanks, man. I appreciate having you on. It was great.
Thanks, Bubba. I sure appreciate it. I look forward to the next time.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. But in the meantime, go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks so much. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.